Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I said a while ago something that about witnessing training, and I hope you will, you know, we could keep this going. If six sign up and six more sign up, so windows lead out, then you have some more. But I also said, if you're not going to use it, don't come. Because the scripture we read today, you'll find out why. 11, verse 20. Jesus, it says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For in the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the days of the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. May we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for what we've already experienced with the presence here of the singing of praises to you. And Heavenly Father, we want you to be lifted up. We want the Holy Spirit to move into this place today. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Have you ever thought about that coming to church might be against you in the day of judgment? But that's exactly what he says here. If you come to church, if you read your Bible, man, we have so many, and do not change your ways and serve the Christ you hear about, the Christ you read about, you'll be far more trouble than those people that live in pagan lands that never saw a church, never heard the name of Jesus. And that is, believe, the truth in this text. I want us to look at this text. And first, I want you to see the rejection that Jesus saw. And then I want to talk about the rebuke that Jesus gave and the response of the people and the reward that we will receive. So first, let's look at the rejection that Jesus saw. Now, Jesus points out the three cities. Back when we went to Israel, we got to be in Capernaum. Capernaum was the headquarters of Jesus Christ. It was also kind of the place where most of his miracles occurred in that area. But in about a 9-mile stretch of the Sea of Galilee on the north shore, that's where most of his miracles took place. And then Bethsaida was another one of these places. And Chorazin, these three towns that had been blessed by God, the miracles were there. Bethsaida was the hometown of Philip and Andrew, and Chorazin were two of the sites that Jesus did his mighty works and his miracles. Now, if you go there today, they're just places. They're not cities anymore. They've been destroyed, and the big tabernacle or temple was there. And you can see where Jesus walked and the places that he met. But they had watched Jesus Christ. They had been there where he healed the sick, where he had raised the dead. All of the miracles were there. But they didn't repent. They had witnessed these things. And he blasted these towns. Woe to you, he says. His presence had made no difference in the way that they were living their lives. And Jesus says, woe to you. He had healed their bodies, but they did not let him heal their minds, you see. They knew about Jesus, but they didn't accept him into their heart. They were willing to accept the gifts of healing and raising the dead and all of these things, but they would not follow his commands. And therefore, Jesus pronounced a curse of their impending doom. Oh, he does the same thing for us today, I believe. Has not Jesus blessed us in this country? I tell you what, I was just thinking about the other day. If you've ever been over in some of the other countries in the world, they don't have the freedom of religion that we have here in this country. Oh, they may have some religion, but it's not the freedom that we have here. Our missionaries go to places, they don't have that freedom where they can assemble without so many places not being able to be put in prison or jail or beaten or sent off into some foreign northern land where they're never heard of again, separated from their parents. You know, I kind of wonder sometimes, we see a lot talk about what we have here in this country, but we do not give Jesus Christ the blessings he deserved. And these cities were totally devastated in Jesus' command. The people of these cities had heard about Jesus and the gospel, but they did not respond. Wednesday night, Brother Perry brought a beautiful message on in Hebrews, and I hope you will come Wednesday night. It's going through that book of Hebrews. We had over 100 and some people here. It was just a wonderful time. But he mentioned the same thing last week. I preached a message, and man, I felt the Holy Spirit moving. I really did. And I expected somebody to come to the altar, somebody to get their life right with God. And guess what? No one came. Was I mad? No, I'm not mad about that. It doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothers me is I know that there's people lost in our service right here. You're just like these people that were being talked about here. You come and hear the word of God. You receive the blessings of God. But you will not change your ways. And you walk out of here, oh, preacher, that was a great sermon. But you really didn't take it into your heart. You heard it with your ears, but it will not change your lifestyle one bit. And friends, that's what's happened here. They were willing to see the miracles. And he said, listen, if Tyre and Sidon had heard these same miracles or saw these same miracles, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. I think about that great city of Nineveh. You know, old Jonah didn't want to go there. But when he went there and they heard the word, what a revival took place in Nineveh. And I think about in our own town, in our own country, we know how God has blessed us as individuals. Oh man, I tell you what, there's many a place in the world today, you don't sit in a nice, comfortable pew with air conditioning and lights. You're out in the 101 heat. And yet they sit there hour after hour after hour and listen to the word of God, and they fall on their knees and repent, and they're so glad the gospel has come to them. And yet we couldn't care less, could we? It's just kind of a habit that we do on Sunday morning. We get up and we go to church. It wasn't because Jesus was angry at these people that he pronounced this upon. It was because he felt sorrow in his heart. His eyes and his heart were filled with the sorrow that he sees today when he sees his people. And I believe we are his people. We are saved and born again. You're his people. And yet, you know, we go our ways just like it was a everyday thing, and we don't respond to the love that he gives us, and we refuse to do so and refuse to obey. And we're like these cities. Folks, we're going to be judged harshly for what we have and what we do not do. And that was his rejection that he saw in these cities. Now, the rebuke that Jesus gave. Why do we find it easy to see the sins of others and yet not see our sins ourselves? Why do we find that easy? The Jews of Jesus' day believed that the worst sinners were those men and women of Sodom. They thought that was the worst sinners they could be. And the runners-up was Tyre and Sidon. And Jesus says, no, that's not the worst sinners. The worst sinners, he says, are the nice, respectable, religious people who live in the light of the Word, who hear the Word, but do not accept it in their heart. Now, if you're here today and you've heard the Word, and you reject it, you go out those doors, Jesus says, you're the worst of the sinners. For you hear the Word over and over and over. Oh, he says, you know the laws. Boy, they knew the law, didn't they? Oh, they could quote it to you. They knew the laws. But you do not obey the law. We'll look outside and we'll see those people that are drunk. We'll see those people that pass by our church on the way to the lake. And we'll say, oh, they should be in church. It's Sunday. Don't they know it's Sunday, preacher? We think they're so bad. Jesus doesn't say that. He says any of them will be better off than we who sit in church every Sunday and reject the Word of God, reject the light of God. Now, how can this be? Friends, God judges us by the amount of light that we have been given, we have received. God said, listen to what he said in Amos 5, or 3:2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. He also says, that servant who knows his master's will and does not do it will be beaten with many blows. Then he says in Luke 12:47, too much is given, much will be demanded. Now, folks, I'm telling you, that is frightening to me because we have been blessed above all people on the earth. I believe the United States have been blessed oh so much more than most of the people around the world. We have the best economy. We have the best nation. This world, everybody over there would like to be here. I don't know why they just try to destroy it when they get here. But you know what? Everybody wants to copy us. Yeah. I was visiting Zach and them for a while, a couple years back. And the people want to be like Americans. Now, they can't be because they don't have that freedom. But they would like to be like us. They comb their hair the latest style in America. That's what they've got to have. They want to look like us. They want to talk like us. They want to be like us. But you know what? They can't. And they never will be able to. But you know what? Jesus says, too much is given, much will be demanded. And so many people live in darkness and paganism. They're like the cities of Tyre and Sidon. Others live in a beautiful country as America, and they don't know the real love of God. They never hear God's word and accept it into their heart, except if we're going to curse. You know, I hear more of God's name used in vain today than I ever have. People take it very lightly. Back years ago, I know his name was used in vain by some old men in the domino hall. But now I hear young ladies and children and boys and girls and women, they curse right along as bad as those old men in the domino hall. And I think, what have we become in our nation? And thank the Lord, when we stand before him, these things will be taken into account. And like Brother Bob Pittman said, God is always right. And he'll do that which is right. We're not excused, folks, from our responsibility of witnessing. And that's the reason I said, listen, if you want to learn to witness, man, I'll be glad to tell you. I'll be glad to share with you how to do it the best way I know how. But let me tell you something. When you gain that knowledge, then you must use it. If you just gain it and say, well, I know how to tell somebody about Christ, and never tell anybody about Christ, it's going to be far worse for you. And let me tell you something. We need to be doing that. We're not to leave the people ignorant so that God might be easier on them. That makes it harder on us. We're to be doing his command every day. Now, I just wonder, don't raise your hand. I said last week, I hope you'd go out and share the gospel with somebody in your family or talk to somebody about Christ. I just wonder, if you're honest with yourself, can you say, preacher, I did that this week. I shared the gospel with somebody. I was excited about Jesus when I left here and I went to my loved one. Let me tell you something. You've got loved ones. Every one of you got loved ones, and probably some of them are lost. Do you want to be in heaven and realize that you have never said one word to a loved one about Jesus Christ? You just let them go off into hell? Is that what you want? No. Grandparents, do you want your grandchildren? We love our grandchildren. Let me tell you something. Do you want your grandchildren to end up in hell? No, you don't. Would you tell them about Jesus Christ? Somebody's got to. Wouldn't it be nice if you led your grandchildren to come to know them in the Lord, you know, that they might live eternally with you? That would be a precious thing. Listen to what he says in the Bible. Son of man, I have made you a watchman. That's what God says. I have made you a watchman. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. We're supposed to warn people. You know, I was thinking about, I don't know if it was reading that book you gave me this week or not, or Brother Perry's message, but somehow, one way, I was thinking, we talked about drifting. Do you know what? A lot of us drift, amen or oh me. We just drift. We just drift through the week. We just drift along. You never drift up. You always what? Drift down. And the further you drift down, the further you get away from God. Until one day we realize, you know, we have drifted so far, we're out of his church. We're out of his will. We're out of his word. You didn't mean to. You was hoping maybe you could drift up, but no. We drifted away from God. And the simple truth is, to much whom is given, much is required. God expects us. I never will forget my father. Boy, when he gave you something, he expected you to use all of it. Amen. He expected you to do what he told you to do. And the omnipotent God knows what every person would have done had he lived in a Christian America and had all the chances that we have today. God knows. And if the miracles had been done in those two cities, Tyre and Sidon, that have been done in America, then they would have repented. And yet in America, I can't believe what I hear on television. I can't believe we have to worry about, are we to vote that we should abort our babies? Folks, that shouldn't even be a discussion. God created that precious life, and it's not for us to take. It's God's precious life. He created it. He belongs to God. Didn't he say, I've known you in your mother's womb? He knows who they are. And he knows who they would become. You pray about the situations in America today. You know, the doc gave me a book, a magazine, Decision, and I read the whole thing this week. I just couldn't put it down once I started reading it, Doc. It was a great book. It talked about prayer, and it hit me right between the eyes. And I just said, Lord, I don't pray enough. All we pray when we need God, don't we? You know, his disciples, one of the things Billy Graham said, or Franklin Graham, or Andy Graham, one said, they, his disciples, didn't say, Lord, teach us how to witness. What they asked for is, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know, and I thought about that. If we pray and we seek God's face and we get our lives right with God, then we're automatically going to witness. Amen? We're automatically going to love people. We're automatically going to go to his teachings and his church, and we're automatically going to give our best to the Master because we're so in love with God. But on the judgment day, the worst sinners in God's sight will not be those foul people from Sodom. It will be the indifferent people from these three cities. And you know what? I was thinking the other day, we live where? In the Bible Belt. We've got churches on every corner. I know they're not all as good as this one, but we've got churches on every corner. I can brag on this church because I'm the pastor of it. And you're a good group of people. I love you. But I want the best for you. I want God's perfect will to be done in your life. I want you to have that peace of God, not just physical peace, but a spiritual peace where you can rest at night knowing that you are right with God in your life. That's a rest, folks. When we really know God and we're living according to his will, man, that is a peaceful rest in our life. I want that in your life. I want that for this church. And we have no excuse for our refusal to repent. We've got every opportunity. The Bible tells us. Now, Jesus saw the rejection and he felt sorry for those people. And he gave them a rebuke because he loved them. And I believe Jesus rebukes us because he loves us. And sometimes you say, preacher, you hit pretty hard there this morning. Well, it's going to be harder when you stand before God and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. And if you're lost this morning, you don't have to die and go to hell. You can repent right now. You can turn your life around, Jesus says. If you'll come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Look at the response. There's an indifference in the world. Did you know that 90% of our people in America claim to know God or believe in God? But only 60% say they need an organized religion. They don't go to church. They say, yes, there is a God. You just about ask anybody on the street out here, you go down to Walmart and say, do you believe there's a God? And I'll tell you what, they will say yes. But don't bother me with him. They'll also tell you, I believe there's a God, but I just don't want to be bothered, see? And that goes not only for people out in the world, that goes for many right here in this church today. Some of you are indifferent towards God. And the hardest judgment is not going to be on those people that pass by the church out here, but you that come into the church, you that sing. Man, if you didn't get saved during that song a while ago, I got saved right there, man. I told you. I said, Lord, that is a blessing. If you don't get saved to listening to that and singing and preaching, just let me tell you something. You don't change your life and live for God, you'll stand before him in judgment because you didn't repent. And some of you, let me tell you, church is just a dull habit that you've acquired years ago. Oh, preacher, I go to church. Mom, Dad always took me, and I think that's probably the best thing to do on Sunday. So I just keep it up. I just go. I want my children to go. They need, a man told me not long ago, my children need to hear about Jesus. And I said, what about you? Well, I'm too old for that. I'm thinking, man, you're going to split hell wide open. You never get too old for Jesus. Man, Jesus died for you. To some people, let me tell you, it's entertaining to come to church. They come for the show. They come to hear these musicians sing. They come for singing. Let me tell you something. You want to draw a crowd? You have a singing and eating. They'll come. You want to have a witness in training? They're not going to come. Why? They're not interested in that. But people don't intend to change their worldly lifestyle. And that's sad. When 9/11 occurred, just think what happened. All them people were crying out to God because something bad had happened. When people's businesses begin to hurt, the economy turns bad, oh, they turn to God. When children are sick or the marriage is breaking up, they come to God. They come to church and they say, preacher, you know, I've had trouble in my marriage or I have trouble financially, and would you pray for me? And if everything goes well for them, they never come back. That's not what being a Christian is all about. You see, you don't just pray to God, and when God blesses you, you get him and you stick him over here in a little corner and say, God, stay right there till I need you again. But that's, you know, may be funny, but that's the way people do. We never take note of God. Just think about your day. When you get up in the morning, do you take note of God? Man, do you pray? Some of us pray maybe 5 minutes a day. Do we really get a hold of God? Or do we just want to say, go through the motions? You know, think how you feel when people don't want you around and you've helped them and helped them and helped them. You thought they were friends and they don't want to have nothing to do with you anymore. Think about how God feels when he gave his son to die on the cross, that you might have life, and you reject that. Then the rewards you receive. Jesus had given a stern warning to his people. They did not repent, and he gives us these words. Look at 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, meek, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden light. He says, if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. A lot of people need rest today, don't they? I went to the doctor a while back, and he said, well, preacher, what you need to do is every day, 12 o'clock, you go home and eat, and you lay down for a couple of hours and rest. He said, that's what you need. He said, a prescription ain't going to help you. You just need to rest. And I said, Doc, that ain't going to happen. That's a physical rest. But let me tell you something. God gives us not only a physical rest, but a rest for the soul. You see, a rest for the soul. The lost find rest and relief from their sins. Look at the first invitation. It's for the sinner who comes to salvation. All those who labor and are heavy laden. Now, Jesus was talking to people who were trying to satisfy the demands of God by rules and regulations of the day. He says they were trying to work their way into heaven. They had rules that everything that they did, the Jews did. You could walk so many steps, not walk so many steps. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you know? And he said, you are trying to satisfy the demands by rules. Do you not know they are trying to save themselves? And you know, we do the same thing, don't we? We try to say ourselves, oh, preacher, if I can just be good enough, if I can just be active enough in that church, I'll make it to heaven. No, you won't. If I can just get baptized, baptism doesn't save you. You can be baptized all day long, and it will not save you. You see, Jesus says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Come unto me. What a beautiful, simple way of saying you can be saved just by coming to Jesus. Quit trying and start trusting. Quit trying to get your way into heaven. You can be friends with me all day long, and I can't get you into heaven. I'll love you till Jesus comes. I'll pray for you till Jesus comes. But you've got to recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the one that died at Calvary, and that is sufficient for salvation. And he says, come to me. And the saved person finds rest and peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ in life. I tell you what, the sweetest peace is just knowing, you know, that one day I have a home prepared for me. I may go through all kinds of trouble down here on this world, but one day I'm going home to be with Jesus, and I'll have that rest. Now, some of you are saved and you're wondering, I've come to Jesus, preacher, but I'm still restless. Listen to me. There's a difference between rest which Jesus gives and the rest which you find. There's a difference. It's called the rest of, I believe, satisfaction. When you're in the perfect will of God and you're doing what God wants you to do, let me tell you, it don't matter if you're in Africa or you're in Haiti or you're overseas, anywhere, it doesn't matter. If you're in the perfect will of God, you're going to be satisfied. Amen. It doesn't matter. Somebody said, you know, how much money one guy had for me, how much money do you make? And I said, you know, it doesn't make any difference. I'd preach for nothing. Just don't tell the church that. You know, it doesn't matter. Money is not an issue. You see? If you want to rewrite with God, money shouldn't be an issue. It's the peace of God, knowing that He lives here. And He says, I'll never let my man starve. No. He will take care of you. He will. He always has. Now look at it. Every believer has peace with God, but not every believer has the peace of God. He says, take my yoke upon you. There's a decision. You've got to take that yoke upon you. A yoke was that wooden thing that they put over the back of an ox, and he would pull that wagon or that cart. Jesus said, if you'll take my yoke upon you, you know, I'll release your burden. He'll pull right with us, you see. When I got saved, I submitted myself to Jesus. Now, I haven't always lived like that. I really haven't. I've got out of the will of God. I tried to do things on my own. And, you know, I've always fallen flat. But when I'm pulling with God, it never falls flat. Because you're in that will with God. You're in that perfect will of God. And you know, and you find that peace of God. Man, I tell you what. You become a disciple of God. You become a teacher with God. Jesus says, submit to me. Make up your mind right now to surrender your life and become a follower of Christ. Now, some of you, you've got families. Husband, wouldn't it be nice to lead your wife and your children to be a follower of God? One that's really at peace with God. I have the best home, I believe, in the world. I've got a great wife. Can you believe we've worked together for 36 years and we don't fight? That's the truth. We don't fight. Oh, we may have some little words every once in a while. You know, she hollers at me sometimes. But that's because I'm deaf. And she says, you talk too loud. I'm not deaf. And I said, okay. But we love each other. I respect her. She respects me. Not only that, I love my family. You see? I couldn't do that if it wasn't for Christ. I've got two wonderful boys. I've got great daughter-in-laws. I've got great brothers and sisters. I want to see them in heaven. Folks, when you submit to Christ, you give everything to Him. And you follow His will. And then there's a decision of development. Learn of me. You know, when you learn of Him, you find out really that He is meek and lowly. And He only wants what's best for you. Come take my yoke. There's development. And then there's discovery. You will find rest. You'll find rest. Now, I'm hyper. I've got to be doing something just about all the time. If I'm not doing something, then I'm shaking my foot. Rhonda will say, would you quit doing that? I'm sitting there doing this. That just drives her nuts. You know, I know it too. So every once in a while, if I'm not doing nothing and it's getting quiet, I start doing this. Because she's going to say, would you quit that? I go down the road and I sit there and I mess with the knob and I mess with the, you know. She said, would you just leave things alone? She'll close her eyes and go to sleep just so you won't have to see me do that. You know, we found rest in Christ Jesus. And when you serve the Lord and live for Jesus, you'll find that serving Jesus makes you the happiest in life. Are you happy this morning? Why did you come to church today? Why? Ask yourself that. Are you at peace with God? Or is it just a dull habit that you do on Sunday? If that's all it is, Jesus says your judgment will be more severe than those who have never heard. Now, what are you going to do about it? If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would this morning, would you just say, I want to follow Christ with my life? And when I give the invitation, just step out and come. I'll be glad to share with you real quickly how you can follow Christ with your life. Some of you may be church members. That don't make any difference. Church membership won't get you into heaven. Following Christ with your life will. Some of you are looking for a church home. If this is the place God's led you, would you come today? Some of you are church members already, but man, you're not doing what God wants you to do. You're not finding that rest. You'll find it when you start living for Christ like He asked you to. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for these that have come. So Lord, today as we make decisions now, don't let anything interfere. Lord, let people stay where they are and let people come and make the decision and not walk out. Lord, today is the day of that salvation that You've offered. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to be saved, maybe they've already been baptized, but that doesn't save them. They know it. Today they want to get their life right. Let them come. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand?